Okay, good morning. Apologies for the lateness. We had technical difficulties getting into the shul this morning. Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Memtes. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Alei HaShalom. We thank Dr. Lander very, very much for his continued sponsorship of this shiur. So today we're going to begin the sixth perek of Maseches Nedarim, and the primary topic of today's daf is going to be about the various lashonos that one can use in Nedarim and what those mean. Now, the general principle is, and we're probably already familiar with this principle because we're already on daf memtes of this mesechta, is that there is a principle that by Nedarim holchim achar lashon b'nei adam. That generally speaking, by Nedarim, if we have a question as to interpretation, how to interpret a neder, we will follow Lashon B'nai Adam. So generally speaking, we follow the colloquial meaning of terms in Nedarim. So the Mishnah is going to introduce us to a whole bunch of terms. Let's say if a person says, I'm taking a neder, I'm not going to have mavushal, I'm not going to have cooked food. So the question is, what does it mean by cooked food? Does he mean to the exclusion of roasted food, to the exclusion of overcooked food, of undercooked food? What if he says he's not going to have enough from tavshil? That has a certain connotation as well, which we will see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to talk about whether by Nedarim we follow Lashon HaKasav, Lashon HaTorah, or Lashon B'nei Adam. Although the Ran says that we do follow Lashon B'nei Adam, and then the Gemara is going to go on a tangent, or on a number of tangents, about the healthful benefits or potential ill benefits of, or not ill benefits, or the potential dangers of eating certain types of food, especially if you're a sick person. The Gemara is going to compare Talmidei Chachamim to sick people because they generally expend much energy in the study of Torah. The Gemara is going to introduce us to the eating habits of the Babylonians, who used to eat certain types of food with other types of food. And then the Gemara is going to conclude today with a couple of stories about Rabbi Yehuda and certain mannerisms that he had, and why exactly he had a shining countenance all the time. We'll see that it was because of his Limud HaTorah, but certain interactions that various people had with Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we're going to begin the sixth perek of Maseches Nedarim, the Mishnah on top of Memtes Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah as follows: Hanoder min haMavushal, if a person takes a neder from eating mavushal, from eating cooked food, so mutar butzli, he's mutter to eat roasted food, uva shaluk, and he's mutter to eat food which is shaluk as well. So what exactly is shaluk? So shaluk is a type of cooking. So if you look in the Mefarish says that shaluk means that it's cooked more than is necessary, meaning that it's overcooked. However, if you look in the Ran says that shaluk means mavushal ve'ena mavushal. That even though it is true, says the Ran, that in the Lashon HaKasav, in the Lashon of the Torah, that shaluk means that something is overcooked. However, again, the guiding principle that we have with Nedarim, as mentioned in the Akdama to the Shir, is that by Nedarim holchin achar Lashon B'nei Adam, and in Lashon B'nei Adam, in colloquial speech, shaluk means mavushal ve'eno mavushal, that it means partially cooked. Even though in Lashon HaKasav it means overcooked, again, Lashon B'nei Adam, it generally means partially cooked. Now, which it just bears mentioning that by Lagabe the Halachos of Bishal on Shabbos or Bishal Akum, you can't roast something or you can't overcook or undercook something on Shabbos and then claim that you're not going to be liable for violating Shabbos, because the Isser on Shabbos is only Bishal B'Shabbos, and Bishal only means regular cooking. It doesn't mean roasting. It doesn't mean overcooking or undercooking. Because by Shabbos, or for example, by Bishal Akum, the definition of Bishal is going to be much broader. It's only by Nedarim, where we're Holchin Achar Lashon B'nei Adam, that we are going to apply a limited interpretation of these words. So far we've seen the Mefarish, which says that Shaluk is overcooked. The Ran, who says that Shaluk is undercooked. The Tosfos Arid said, it's not really talking about the degree of cooking, it's talking about the style of cooking. In other words, Mavushal is something that is cooked together with spices, and Shaluk is something that is cooked just in boiling water, that is not cooked together with spices. Okay, but regardless, the bottom line is that if a person says that he's not allowed to eat Mavushal, then he's not allowed to eat cooked food, but he is allowed to eat roasted food, and he's allowed to eat food that is not cooked normally, in a normal fashion. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Omer Konem Tavshil, Sheini Toem. If he says that he's not going to have a Tavshil, now he's not being noder from Mavushal, but rather he's being noder from a Tavshil, then Aser B'maisa Kedei Rarach, it's also for him to eat a runny sort of food, Umutar Ba'ava, but it's mutter for him to eat a solid food, Umutar Ba'veitza Termuta, and it's mutter for him to eat a Beitza Termuta, V'dalas HaMerutza, and to eat a Dalas HaMerutza. Now, why is it mutter for him to eat these types of thick foods? And we'll see in the Gemara what the Beitza Termuta is. It's a Beitza which is cooked 1,000 times in hot water and 1,000 times in cold water. We're going to talk about the Dalas HaMerutza, but the guiding principle is that if you say that you're not allowed to eat Tavshil, it means that you're not allowed to eat a runny sort of food, but you are allowed to eat a solid food. Why? So the reason is because tavshil is something that's eaten with bread. And generally speaking, if you're eating something with bread, the thing that you're eating with bread has some sort of softness to the texture. Because if it's a very hard item, you wouldn't have to eat it with bread. They used to use bread to soak up like gravy, for example. And therefore, if you have something that's a real solid food, that's not eaten with bread. Tavshil has the connotation of something that is eaten with bread. And therefore, you are going to be usher to eat runny foods, but you are going to be mutter to eat, to eat solid foods. Okay, so says the Mishnah Navaitra, Noder mi Maisa Kedera, if a person is Noder from Maisa Kedera, again, he uses a Lashon which is sort of vague, but he's Noder from something which is made in a pot, Ein Asur Ela mi Maisa Ratchata. It's only Asur for him to eat something which is boiled a lot, because Maisa Kedera means that it really requires the pot, meaning it undergoes extensive boiling. If something only undergoes minimal boiling, it's considered that it doesn't really require the pot to the same extent. And therefore, Maisa Kedera means something only which is very vigorously boiled. What's very vigorously boiled? The Yerushalmi brings examples of a whole bunch of grain, which have to be boiled comprehensively in order for them to be made edible. Now, however, if he says, Omer Konem Hayore Likedera Sheini Toim, if instead of saying he's no there from Maisa Kedera, but he says he's Konem from something which goes into a pot that he's not going to taste, Asur B'chola Misbashla Mekedera, then it's going to be Asur for him to eat anything that goes into a pot, because Yored Likedera is more expansive than Maisa Kedera. Maisa Kedera means that which requires the pot for extensive boiling. Yored Likedera means anything which goes into the pot, even to a lesser degree. Okay, says the Gemara now. So Tanya Rav Yoshia Oser, that Rav Yoshia says that if you make a neder that you're not allowed to have mavushal, then you are not allowed to have sli as well, because Rav Yoshia says that mavushal includes sli. So that's the Ron's interpretation, that what Rav Yoshia is trying to say is that if you're no der min amavushal, you're not allowed to have tzli either. The Mefarish says, no, he's going like all the way, that if you're no der min amavushal, you're not allowed to have tzli, nor are you allowed to have shaluk, because mavushal means every type of food. So Rav Yoshia says it's going to be usur. V'alfal pi shein raya ladavar zeich ladavar. And even though there is no raya ladavar, there is an allusion to this fact that mavushal includes even that which is tzali. Shenemar v'yavashlu apesach be'esh kamishpat. That they cooked the Pesach in fire kamishpat like they were supposed to do. Now, obviously, we are talking about the Korban Pesach. What do we know about the Korban Pesach? The Korban Pesach has to be roasted. It's not cooked, it's roasted. Yet, when the Pasuk is describing the way that the Korban Pesach was prepared, it says, Bishol, it uses a Lashon of Vayavashlu. Therefore, we see, says Rav Yoshia, that Bishol includes the type of cooking of tzli as well, because the Korban Pesach has to be roasted, yet the Pasuk refers to it as Bishol. The Gilyan Hashas, Rabbi Kiva Eger asks over here, this is a weird Pasuk to be quoting, because it's quoting a Pasuk from Nevi'im. This is quoting a pasuk here from Nevi'im, but there are psukim in the Torah, obviously. This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. But there are psukim in Sefer Shemos that teach us how you have to make the Korban Pesach. So why exactly it says Sliyei Shal Matzah Samurim Yochlu? So why are we going to Divrei Hayamim to quote a pasuk to tell me that that the Karban Pesach has to be Sli, even though the pasuk refers to it as Mavushal? So so the Achronim deal with how to answer this kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Some of them say, well, the reason that the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is such a great raya is because the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim not only does it use the lashon of Bishal, but it also uses the lashon of Eish in the same pasuk. So from here, it's very obvious that Sli Eish is included in Bishul, because the Gemara is using, the pasuk rather, Divrei Hayamim, is using these words, which appear to be contradictory, and therefore it's apparent that Sli is included in the type of cooking of Bishul as well. Others explain that that the reason that we are quoting a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim is because if we were to quote a pasuk from the Chumash, I might have thought that only Pesach Mitzrayim has to be Tzli. However, Pesach Doros has to be could be regular cooked. Kamash Malan, we're quoting from Divrei Hayamim, even Pesach Doros has to be roasted. Yet the pasuk is referring to this roasting as cooking. Says the Gemara, okay, so I have the Tanna Kamma in our Mishnah who says that if I say Mavushal, it only means regular cooked. It doesn't mean roasted. Rav Yoshia says, no, it even means roasted, and he brought a raya from a pasuk. So says the Gemara, Lema Bakam Efli, let's say that they're arguing as follows. Rav Yoshia Savar Halacha Achar Lashon Torah. The Rav Yoshia says that when we interpret Nedarim, we follow the Lashon of the Torah, and in the Lashon of the Torah, Mavushal includes Sli. V'tana Dilan Savar B'Nedarim Halach Achar Lashon B'nei Adam. And the Tana of our Mishnah says that by Nedarim, we're going to follow Lashon B'nei Adam. And according to Lashon B'nei Adam, according to the way people speak, colloquially, cooking only means cooking. It doesn't mean roasting. So says the Gemara, Lo, Dekuli Alma B'Nedarim Halach Achar Lashon B'nei Adam. Like we explained in the Akdama to the Shir, everybody agrees uniformly that by Nedarim Halchin Achar Lashon B'nei Adam, Marki Asrei, you Marki Asrei. So how then do you interpret the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yoshia? They're arguing because in their towns, in their specific locales, they would call different types of things by a different name. Ba'asra, the Tanna Dilan, Litzli, Kari, Litzli, Lemavushal, Kari, Lemavushal. Ba'asra, Rabbi Yoshia, Filutzli, Kari, Mavushal. That, no, they're simply arguing because in Rabbi Yoshia's town, they used to refer to something which is roasted as something which is cooked, and therefore if you make a neder against having something which is cooked, you're also not allowed to eat something that's roasted. In the town of the Tanna Kamma, in the locale of the Tanna Kamma, if something were cooked, they would call it cooked. If something were roasted, they would call it roasted. And therefore, when you make a neder that you're not going to have something cooked, you are allowed to have something roasted. Says the Gemara, that you're telling me has some sort of appeal, but it doesn't really fit with the whole Shak Levitarya here, because v'ha'kra nasivla, because when Rav Yoshia wants to bring a raya that Bishul includes Tzli, he doesn't say, oh, because in my town we refer to something which is roasted as cooked. He says, because we have a pasuk that tells me that roasted is included in something that's cooked. So they're obviously not arguing about Lashon B'nei Adam, because Rav Yoshia is bringing a raya from a pasuk. So says the Gemara, no, because Asmachta B'Yalma, that the Rav Yoshia's pasuk is an Asmachta B'Yalma. In other words, that, he is, what he really is saying is that, no, in my town, we do call something which is roasted also something that's cooked. And that's why I would say that when I make a neder against something that's mavushal, not only are you not allowed to have something that's cooked, you're also not allowed to have something that's roasted. He's bringing a raya, he's bringing a support for the minig in his town for including that which is roasted and that which is cooked because of this pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. So that's the way our Gemara concludes, but the Ran points out that in the Yerushalmi, so according to the Bavli again, everybody agrees, B'Nedarim Holchen Achar Lashon B'nei Adam. The Ran points out that according to the Yerushalmi, their Taka is a Machlokas, Rav Yochanan and Rav Yoshia, whether we're Holech Achar Lashon B'nei Adam or after Lashon Torah. The Rav Yoshia does in fact say that we're Holech Achar Lashon Torah, and it's Rav Yochanan who the Yerushalmi says would be the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, who says that by Nedarim Holchen Achar Lashon B'nei Adam. Again, that's the Yerushalmi quoted by the Ran. However, in the Bavli, we conclude that everybody says that we are holech achar lashon b'nei Adam. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter at the two dots, a little bit more than halfway down on the Amud, about six lines before the lines get wide. Koneim Tavshil. So if he's koneim a Tavshil, that he's not going to eat a Tavshil, then he's usur to eat. It's usur for him to eat a Maisa Kedera Rach. It's usur for him to eat runny food, but it's mutter for him to eat thick food. So says the Gemara Vami Tavshil Nodar, but he was Nodar from Tavshil. So why is he mutter to eat thick food? Thick food is also cooked. So why in the world would it be mutter for him to eat thick food? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Hai Tana, Kol Midi, the Mesachal Bei Rifta, Tavshil Karele, that this Tana is under the, this Tana holds by the view that whatever is eaten with bread is called Tavshil. That which is not eaten with bread is not considered a Tavshil. And again, the only type of food that's eaten with bread is food that has a little bit of pliability, is food that's a little bit runny, and they would use the bread to soak up the gravy, to soak up the food. If you have a food that's a real pure solid, that would not be eaten with bread, and therefore that's not considered to be part of the types of food that is called tavshil. Vatanya, and we have a brisa that supports this, benichusa, hanoder min tavshil. If a person is noder from tavshil, aser b'chol mine tavshil, it's aser for him to eat all types of tavshil, v'aser b'tzli v'shaluk, uva mavushal, it's aser for him to eat tzli, shaluk, and mavushal, because unlike mavushal, which means only cooked as opposed to roasted, tavshil means a dish. A dish could either be cooked, roasted, or overcooked, or undercooked, depending on how we interpreted shaluk. The aser behitriot rachot, shacholin ochlem ben pitan, and it's aser to eat tender squash that sick people eat with their bread. And the reason that it's aser to eat that is because these things are runny. And says the Ran that the Gemara give them, Gemara clues us into the reason why it's usher to eat this stuff if he is noder from Tavshil. And the reason is, says the Gemara, Shacholin Ochlam Behem Pitam, because the sick people eat their bread with this type of food. So we see that Tavshil includes only that which is eaten with bread. Says the Gemara, Eini, but it's not so. Rav Yirmiya, Chalash, Rav Yirmiya. So the Gemara is now going to challenge, not the notion that Tavshil only includes runny items that you eat with bread, but the Gemara is going to challenge that tender squash is beneficial for a chola. So Rav Yirmiya, Chalash, first wide line, Rav Yirmiya once got sick, so a certain doctor came to heal him, Chazia Kara Demachas Bevesa, he saw a squash which was lying around in the kitchen in Rav Yirmiya's house, Shavke Vinofak, he ran out of the house, and Amar, so the doctor said, Malach Mavse Isle Bedin Besa, the Malach Hamavet, so to speak, is in this house, Vana El La'asa Yasya, and he's calling me to go heal him, meaning that he saw the squash in the house, and the doctor at least believed that the squash was very harmful to a sick person. It was not beneficial to a sick person. So says the Gemara, Lo kasha habrachichi ha ba'ashuni. No, if it's tender, then it's going to be beneficial for a sick person. If it's hard, then it's going to be detrimental to the sick person. Rava Bar Ula Amar. So Rava Bar Ula said as follows, Haba kara gufe, haba gave. No, that it doesn't depend on whether it's well cooked or whether it's not well cooked, whether it's, it depends on whether you're eating the outside of the squash or the inside of the squash. And the Ran points out the inside of the squash is going to be beneficial to the chole. It's going to be beneficial to the sick individual. However, the outside of the squash is not going to be beneficial to the chole. So, says the Gemara Navaiter, the Omar Rav Yehuda Lulive de Kara Basilka, that the inside of the squash eaten together with leek, Lulive de Kisna Bakutcha, and the inside of the flax plant together with kutach. Kutach was the dip that they used to use in Bavel. It was like some nasty sounding milchic moldy type dip, like some like partially moldy cheese dip, but they would eat the inside of a flax plant with kutcha. So those things are beneficial, meaning that the inside of a squash with leek is beneficial to a chola, but you're not allowed to say this to an am aretz. Why in the world are you not allowed to say this to an am aretz? So you're not allowed to say it to an am aretz. There is a four-way machlokas here among the Rishonim. So the Ran says that the reason that you're not allowed to say it to an am aretz is because what did we just say? We just said the inside of a squash together with leeks the inside of a flax plant together with kutach is very, very good for a sick person and has medicinal purposes. Says the Ran, if we were to publicize this ruling to the Amei Aretz, they would go around stealing everybody's flax plant because they would want to steal the medicine and then they would trade in the medicine because they would want to make a profit. And that's why we don't publicize it so that the Amei Aretz are not enticed to go steal the flax plant. The Mefarish says that the reason that we're not allowed to tell an Amei Aretz is because the flax plant actually does have medicinal properties, and we are not allowed to help them by giving them a tip as to something which has medicinal properties. We're not supposed to benefit the Amei Haaretz. And then the Mefarish quotes the Ran Shita as well, that the reason that we don't tell the Amei Haaretz is because we're afraid that they're going to go pilfering all of the flax plants. Tosfos here says that the reason that we don't tell the Amei Haaretz is because Shemal Igan Aleinu Ve'omrim Sha'anu Kova Mile Dechucha Vitula, and that they're just going to mock us. They're going to say, what, the inside of a flax plant with kutach has medicinal properties? That's ridiculous. In other words, they're going to mock us. The Rosh has a similar Shita, but different from Tosfos. The Rosh says that they are going to laugh at us. The Rosh explains that the reason that they're going to laugh at us is not because they're going to think that we're silly and that we think that the flax plant is beneficial. They're going to laugh at us because they say everybody knows that even women, says the Rosh, this is the Rosh saying it, not me. So even women know that the flax plant has beneficial medicinal properties, and therefore we're not allowed to tell this to Amei Aretz. So again, really a four-way machlokas, why we're not allowed to tell Amei Aretz, either because they're going to steal the flax or because we're not supposed to benefit them, or they're going to laugh at us. Why they would laugh at us, a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rosh. Okay, so says the Gemara now Vayter, last line of Mem Tes Amid Aleph, Rava Amar, Man Cholin Rabbanan. Who are cholin? The cholin are Rabbanan. In other words, the Ran explains, this is the Gemara's way of also resolving the contradiction. Before we said that squash is good for a cholin. Then we said the doctor went into Rav Yirmiyah's house and he said squash was bad for a cholin. And we said it depends if it's cooked well, if it's not cooked well, the inside of the squash, the outside of the squash, whatever. Now the Gemara is saying, no. It's, if you're really sick, you shouldn't eat squash. Who was the squash beneficial to? The chola were Talmidei Chachamim. And the Ran points out that they're not really cholin, they're not cholin mamish. Elaman cholin, says the Ran in the last line here, Rabbanan da'afilu b'priyusan aim teshushe koach mipnei shatora mateshes kocham. Even when they're healthy, they're of a weak constitution because they don't work out, they spend all their time learning, and therefore they're of a weaker constitution. So when we talk about the sick people who are eating the squash, we're not talking about people who are physically ill, we're talking about Talmidei Chachamim. And Rava Latameh, and Rava follows his own Shita, the Amar Rava, flipping to Mem Testament Beis, Kaman Matzlinan al Ketzirei val Marie. Who do we hold like when we daven for the Ktsiri, for the ill people, Val Marie, and for the sickly people? Come on, Rav Yossi. We paskin like Rav Yossi. So we're going to come back to Rav Yossi in a second, but Mida Amar Ktsiri Marie, from the fact that we have two different Lashonos of saying ill, Shmamina, Ktsiri, Ktsiri Mamish, and Marie is Mdarbana. That when we say Ktsiri, when we say ill people, we actually mean ill people. When we say Marie, Marie doesn't also mean ill people. Marie means the Rabbanan, who are also ill because they are of a very weak constitution. Why are sick people called Katsiri? So the Ran says because the sickness sometimes chops years off of their life. In other words, it makes their life katsar, shorter, sometimes because of their illness. So again, from here we have a raya that when we say ill, we don't necessarily mean physically ill. Sometimes we're talking about Talmidei Chachamim as well. But the Gemara had said, who do we paskin like that we daven every day for the ill and the sickly people? We paskin like Rav Yossi. Why do we paskin like Rav Yossi? And the Ran says over here, because Rav Yossi is the man d'amar Maseches Rosh Hashanah, who says that Adam Nidon B'chol Yom, that a person is judged every day. So if you're going to tell me that a person goes through a din every day, that's why we daven for sick people every day, because every day could be their Yom HaDin. However, the Ran says, the Ilu L'Rabbanan D'Islu D'Nidam B'Rosh Hashanah Kimen Sh'Ning Radinan Ein Tvila Mo'alas Lahem, that according to the Chachamim, that a person's din is on Rosh Hashanah, why are you going to daven every day for sick people? Tefillah is not going to help them. Their gzar din already happened on Rosh Hashanah. So this leads, obviously, to a fundamental question. Ben Tosfos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah asks the question that, time out, we paskin like the Rabbanan, that a person's din is on Rosh Hashanah, but we also daven every day. We daven every day, three times a day, Rafa'inu. So what does it mean that if the din is only on Rosh Hashanah, then we shouldn't be davening throughout the year? So says Tosaf Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Nah, it depends what you're davening for. On Rosh Hashanah, when you're having a din, you're davening that you shouldn't become sick during the year. During the year, when you're davening for refuah, you're asking that the people who became sick during the year should experience a refuah, and that's why we daven. Throughout the year, the Rana Maseches Rosh Hashanah says a little bit different. That on Rosh Hashanah, each and every individual should daven for himself. That he shouldn't become ill, because that's when a person's gemar din is going to be. However, for the rest of the year, what do we say? Rofe chole amo yisrael. We're talking about the klal. We're not talking about individual people. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter, three lines down from the top on Memtes Amud Beis. So what we had said was that if you take a neder from Tavshil, if you say that you're not going to eat food, so Tavshil implies only that which is eaten with bread. The only thing that's eaten with bread is slightly runny food. Food which is very solid is not going to be eaten with bread. So Mutar Ba'ava, says the Gemara, Masnisan Delo Kebabloi, so our Mishnah is not like the Babylonians. De'emar Rabbi Zera, Babloi Tipshoi, De'ochli Lachma Balachma. So not super complimentary, but the Gemara says, quoting Rabbi Zera, that the silly Babylonians, they eat bread with bread. In other words, the Babylonians would taka eat solid food with bread, even though the Gemara is laughing at them, that it's ridiculous because the bread is solid, the food is solid. Why are you eating the bread with the food? It's not complementary to each other. So Amar Rav Chista, Demashe Lahon, Lahalin Nakdani Duhutzal. You should ask the meticulous diners of Hutzal. The Ran says that they were called Nakrani, because he's Gores over here, instead of Nakdani, he's Gores Nakrani, because they eat B'Nikios. Nakrani is for the Lashon of Nikios. And then the Ran says that no, others have the Girsa like we have in our Gemara, Nakdani, that they're called Nakdani because they are Medakdek in their eating habits. So you go ask the meticulous diners of Hutzal. Hutzal was in Bavel. Hadin Daisa, this porridge, Heichi Ma'ale Lamichla, how do you guys eat it? Because they used to eat porridge, thick porridge, together with bread, even though the Gemara sort of laughs at that, but they used to eat it together with bread. So the Gemara wants to know what was the appropriate style for eating this. Dechiti belachma dechiti udasari belachma desari. If you have porridge made out of wheat, should you eat it with bread made out of wheat? And if you have porridge made out of barley, you should eat it with bread made out of barley. Or Dilma dechiti bizari bizari bechiti. Or maybe you should eat the wheat porridge made with barley bread, or the barley porridge with wheat bread. So he had a kasha. So Rava achle bechasisi, Rava ate it with the flour of oven-dried grain. Rabba baravuna ashkeche laravuna. Rabba baravuna found ravuna de ka'achel daisa betzbase. He was eating daisa, which is the thick porridge, with his fingers. So says the Gemara. So Amar Le, Amai Kachel Mar Biyade. Why are you eating with your fingers? That's disgusting. So Amar Le, Hachi Amar Rav, Daisa Betzpase Basim. That eating daisa with your fingers is sweet. V'chol Dechem Betartim, V'chol Dechem Betlas. And even more sweet if you eat it with two fingers, and even more sweet if you eat it with three fingers. Obviously, they have a different convention. Eating porridge with your fingers is pretty gross, as the Gemara is going to illustrate right now. So Amar Le, the Rav Chia Berei, V'chein Amar Le, Rav Huna Larava Bray. So before we get to that, we're just going to take this interlude that if they invite you to eat daisa ad parsa, you should travel even a parsa to go partake of the meal. Lamechal bisra detura. If they're going to invite you to eat the basar of a shor, then ad talosa parsa, you should travel even three parsos to eat the food. So amarle Rav lechia bray. So Rav said to Chia's son, v'chein amarle Rav Huna larabba bray. Kol meidam lo tiflot kamei rabcha. After eating, you should never spit whatever saliva is left in your mouth in front of your Rebbe, because it's not appropriate. It's not pakavadik. Levar min kra v'daisa, except for squash or porridge, shein domin lefsilta shel aver. Because they are like a rod of lead, meaning that they're very indigestible. And if you don't spit out the residue that's in your saliva, even in front of your Rebbe, even though it's not very bakovadik, you're going to be left with something which is very indigestible in your stomach, and that's going to be very unhealthy for you. And even in front of Shavar Malka, you have to spit it out. In other words, no matter how important the person is, you shouldn't try to have kavod. You just need to spit it out. So afilu kame shavar malka plot. Okay, you got to spit it out. So Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, chad achol daisa betzpase, v'chad achol behutza. One of them ate daisa with his fingers, and the other ate daisa, the porridge, with a bark. So the bark is like the rudimentary spoon. Let's envision it as. So Amar Lei da Achel Behutza la Achel Betz Basay. So the one who was eating with a utensil said to the one who was eating with his finger, Ad Masayata Mechileni Tzuasecha, until when are you going to feed me your excrement? Meaning they were eating out of the same pot of porridge, or the same bowl of porridge. So the one who was eating with the utensil said to the one who was eating with his fingers, you're feeding me your excrement. Why? Because in the times of the Gemara, again, they didn't have the sanitary type of conditions that we have now in bathrooms with soap and whatever. So when he would use a bathroom, obviously he would use his fingers, and he was then sticking his same fingers into the daisa. He said, it was gross. You're feeding me your excrement. It's disgusting. And said to the assistant, the other guy said, Amar lei da'achol betz basay la'da'achol behutza. But the one who was eating with his fingers said to the one who was eating with a spoon, Ad matai ata machileni rokha. Until when are you going to feed me your spit? The Rush explains, because the derech was, if you're sticking your fingers into the daisa, because you don't want to have dirty fingers, you're always going to wipe off your fingers in between spoonfuls of the porridge. Whereas the one who's using a utensil is not going to wipe off the spoon between the times that he puts it in his mouth. And therefore, the spoon is actually going to be worse than the fingers, because the fingers are always going to be a little bit more clean when they're stuck into the porridge, but the spoon is going to still have the guy's saliva when it is stuck into the porridge. Says the Gemara now, second to last skinny line. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Aisu Lekame Belusfin. They brought figs before Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda achol, Rav Shimon lo achol. Rav Yehuda ate the figs, Rav Shimon didn't eat the figs. Amar le Rav Yehuda, so said Rav Yehuda, my time lo achol mar, why didn't you eat the figs? So Amar le Rav Shimon, elu ein yotzim ibnei ma'ayim kol ikar. I don't eat the figs because they cause constipation. They stay in your system forever. So Amar le Rav Yehuda, kol shkein shenisma chaleim lamachar. No, then it's even better. We'll be able to rely on them tomorrow, meaning that if they stay in your system forever, then they're going to satiate you not only for today but also for tomorrow. So it's going to be very economical, it's going to be very efficient. You're not going to have to take a break from learning tomorrow to eat, because you're going to be satisfied with the figs that you would have eaten today. Rav Yehuda v'Yosef kamed Rav Tarfon. Rav Yehuda was sitting in front of Rav Tarfon. So Amar Lei Rav Tarfon, Hayom Panecha Tzehuvin. Ah, today your face is very radiant. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yehuda said, Emesh Yatsu Avadecha L'Sadeh V'Yaviyu Lanu Tardin V'Yachalnum B'lo Melach. Because your servants went into the field, they brought beets, and we ate them without salt. V'Machalnum B'Melach. And if we had eaten them with salt, Kol Shkein Shayu Paneinu Tzehuvin, then certainly our faces would be even more radiant. So Amar Ahi Matrunisa L'Rav Yehuda. Again, a story involving Rav Yehuda, that a matronisa said, a certain Roman noblewoman said to Rav Yehuda, More verave, you are paskening halacha and you're drunk. Why did she think that he was drunk? Because his countenance shone, because he had a radiant face. She thought that the reason that he had a radiant face was because he was stoned, but really it wasn't true. The reason that he had a radiant face was because he was learning so much Torah, and that caused his face to shine. So Amar La, Heminusa biyada dahi itza. I swear by the honor of this noblewoman, Itaimna ela kiddush vavdalta, that I'm not drunk. In fact, the only wine I ever drink is kiddush wine and avdala wine, varba kosei de pesach, and the four cups of wine that I have to eat on pesach, v'chagarni tzedoi mina pesach adatzeres. And you should know that because I don't tolerate wine, I have a splitting headache from Pesach all the way until Shavuos. So it's obvious that I'm not drinking wine. I never drink for enjoyment, because
because I hate wine. Ella chachmas adam Torah panav. Rather, it's the chachma that I have in me. It's the Torah that I have in me, which is causing my countenance. My countenance to shine. This Gemara over here, this is all in Agarata, but it does come up la'alacha. To what extent does a person have to make himself uncomfortable or even physically ill in order to perform the mitzvah of dalakosos? So over here we have Rabbi Yehuda seeming to say that he didn't take an easy way out, he didn't dilute the wine, he didn't use grape juice, but he actually used wine even though it caused him to have a splitting headache from Pesach all the way until Shavuos. Another story involving Rav Yehuda. Amar Lehu Tzeduki L'Rav Yehuda. So a certain Sadducee said to Rav Yehuda, Panecha Domin, that your face appears to me, Ikamalve Ribis, Ikamagdile Chazerim. Either like somebody who's loaning with Ribis, like a loan shark, or even in the times of the Gemara, they had cash advance. Your face shines to me either like a cash advance guy, Ikamagadle Chazerim, or somebody who's raising pigs, which are both things that are usher to do. So Amar Lehu Biyuda, Tarvayu Asurin. I'm not allowed to loan Baribis. I'm not allowed to loan with Ribis, nor am I allowed to be Megadol Chazerim. The reason that my face is shining is not because I'm engaged in any illicit business. Ella Esrim Ve'arba Beisakise Islam and Beisa Be Medrash. I have 24 bathrooms between my house and the Beis Medrash. V'chol Shav V'shan I Nichnas L'chol Echa Ve'echad. And each and every time I go to the Beis Medrash, I stop and I use each of these bathrooms. So the reason that I'm shining like this is because I take very good care of my GI system. Really, Rav Yehuda was just giving a smokescreen. He was very humble. We already saw the reason that his face was shining was because of his chachma, but he didn't want to boast. So he just made up this other reason about the 24 bathrooms that are that were on the way from his house to the Beis Medrash. Rav Yehuda kad ozel lebei medrasha. Rav Yehuda once went to the Beis Medrash. Shakil gulfa al kasve. He took a jug on his shoulder. Amar gdola malacha shemachabedes as bala. That malacha is great. That it's actually mechabed those who do it. In other words, even though there were some who would say that the Rebbe shouldn't do any menial labor, he thought it was appropriately humbling to do a little bit of menial labor. And then a similar story. Rav Shimon shakil tinal kasve. Rav Shimon took a basket on his shoulder. Amar gadola malacha shemechabedes as baila. And he said that malacha is great, that it's mechabed he who does it. All right, we'll stop here because over here we're going to get into a story about Rav Yehuda and his wife, but tomorrow we're going to continue with more stories of Rav Yehuda. I hope everybody has a wonderful day.